The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the borough of Queens, in the city of New York, this is the Epic Podcast with your hosts, Nelson Lugo and Schaefer, the Dark Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the beautiful and spacious Studio 6C in Astoria, Queens, this is the Epic Podcast, episode 50! I'm your host, Nelson Lugo.
And I am your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
5-0, the big 5-0.
Happy anniversary.
Goodness gracious.
What is a 50th anniversary? Is that silver?
I have no idea.
Really?
I literally have no idea.
I was hoping you would know. Maybe 25 is silver.
I was only married for 2.5 years. I never even made it past paper.
No, wait, paper's one, so you made it to two.
What's two?
I don't know, chestnuts? There's a bunch of weird stuff in those anniversaries.
Yeah, no, there are. Numbers. There are. Like, I think one of them is like tin.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one's like, I don't know, a rock.
One of them is powder.
Powder?
Yeah, that's the best one.
Is that the cocaine anniversary?
Hey, I didn't say it. You did. Happy anniversary. Where's my gift?
Where's that China white? Yeah, here we are, 50.
Oh,
50
my God.
Fucking episodes. I wonder how much, like... How much audience retention we've had? I mean, is there a listener out there who's listened to all 50 episodes?
There's got to be one. And if there's one, it's C. Muldrow.
I don't think C. Muldrow's listening anymore.
I think people have been jumping off this ship ever since we hit an iceberg like 20 episodes ago.
Oh, no. What was the 20th? What happened 20 episodes ago?
I don't know. But you can go to the archives at nerdyshow.com and tell us, because I'm not looking up anything this month.
You know what? Here, after 50 episodes, I'm very curious, dear listener. What's your favorite moment of the podcast? Send us an email at epicpodcast@gmail.com.
That's epicpodcast@gmail.com.
Tell us what your favorite moment of the podcast is. And then maybe in like some future episode, we'll play like a clip show, like a best hits version of the podcast. And it's just the hits.
I love how you just volunteered me for the most tedious, laborious editing job I have ever had. That was awfully fun.
No, what I'll do, I'll track them down. And I'll tell you, you know, like... Minute 42 to minute like 52 on episode 3.
That would be great. That'd
yeah,
be
I'll,
so
do
much
easier. I'll do that.
I think it's fitting that we are now turning 50, or our
the podcast is turning 50. There, Grandpa,
turning 50. Well, yes, even not turning 50. It's turning 50 episodes. But yes. I think it's fitting that here, right here at the end of the year, hitting our 50th episode.
Right.
And my computer has shit the bed.
That is true. Your computer is kaput.
I'm running I have a pretty old Mac Pro that I have upgraded to literally the end of the road. I cannot upgrade. I cannot add RAM.
No.
I cannot add another hard drive to it. I can't update the operating system anymore. It is at its limit, and I have researched it thoroughly, and yeah. I found that everything is at the end of the road, and that's fine. I've still been able to use it. I can
your computer has pooped tools. The
I can,
bed.
I can use the internet. Everything is shitty, but I can still do sure. everything. But it eventually just, it took a nap on me.
Oh.
Just like a week before we recorded this episode. And I don't think there's
like
any...
Like an old man after a large meal.
Yeah, we took Old Yeller up to the farm.
Oh, no.
There's been a few computer problems that have interfered with the recording of the show.
That's true. This isn't the first time. This is not the first time.
Way back in episode 13.
Yeah. Yeah, your computer shit the bed then too.
I don't think it's coming back this time. I think.
Ooh, really?
I think she's done for. Oh, so now I have this.
Rest in peace, old.
Now I have this ancient 40-pound MacBook.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so old that there's a in the bar at the bottom, there's an icon for AOL Instant Messenger.
That's oh my old. Fucking God.
That's what
here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take a picture of this and we're gonna put it in the show notes. No,
I would be embarrassed.
We're gonna do it.
If you took an unflattering photo of me, I'd be more okay with that. This is humiliating.
I want you to pose by this ancient piece of technology.
How do you guys record on an Etch-a-Sketch?
Basically, it's a rock you plug in.
It's sad. And so it's also compromised in its abilities to process data at a high rate. So we're going to have to keep this month's episode kind of short.
Pretty short episode.
I think this thing, it's going to get the most use it's had in years. It's going to burst into flames if we if we fight too much about Batman this month.
We're going to keep this snappy. Snappy, as they say. This is going to be a snappy episode.
So we've got no guest.
No guest.
It's just the two of us.
Just you and me, buddy.
Here with Hal. And we are going to take a look back.
Oh dear.
At the year that was 2016. It was the worst of times.
It was the worst of times.
We can all agree that our social medias are currently filled with people complaining about how 2016 was the worst year ever.
I am nicknaming 2016 the dumpster fire year.
It was just awful.
Yeah.
And I don't want to poop on anybody's parade, but that's the thing a person says right before they poop on somebody's parade. But a lot of these expressions are paired with an anxiousness for the dawn of 2017, to get this year over with.
Right.
As though an arbitrary demarcation of time is going to stop this shit flood.
Yeah, no. The floodgates of the shit river have opened, and they're not a closing anytime soon, folks.
I'm here to tell you that if 2016 was the Phantom Menace, 2017 is going to be Attack of the Clones.
Oh, dear God. That's the best fucking analogy I've heard in a long goddamn time.
Maybe marginally better. But when it sucks, it's gonna suck.
Yeah, this isn't like time isn't like a Nintendo system. You don't hit the reset button, everything just kind of goes back to zero. That's not how time works.
If that happened, we would all quit drinking and go to the gym all year long.
Right.
Just like we all do up until January 10th.
So we've had a pretty crazy year. Lots of stuff happened, some of it good, some of it bad, some of it awful, some of it not as awful. Let's go through the year and let's talk about some of the highs and some of the lows.
We'll talk about the things we liked and the things we didn't like.
Yeah. I think we do this every year, right? This
is how we do different versions of
the yearly wrap up.
We do something similar to this every year.
Uh-huh.
So guess what? No new surprises.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
So what do you want to do? You want to do the good? You want to do the bad?
Let's do bad first. That way we can end on a high note.
That sounds terrific.
Yeah, let's do the bad. I mean, I have a list here. It's not really in chronological order, but I've got a shit ton of stuff that I just kind of shake my head at very slowly.
Things that you think were the lowlights of 2016.
Yeah, you want to hear the first one?
Hit me with it.
I debated flat earth with an actual human being.
Ooh, that is a low.
Yeah.
That actually happened
in 2016. I had a debate as to whether or not the earth is actually a spheroid or a flat plane. That actually happened.
That is remarkable.
Yeah.
I'm envious. I wish I had something cool like that.
I wish it was you instead of me.
Oh. On my bad list, I've got Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Oh, God, that's pretty bad.
Ooh, what a loud, angry, unfun car crash of a movie that was.
What? I mean, I was going to call it a shart, but it's not a shart. It's a hard, constipated poop that hurts on the way out.
I waited 40 years to see that on the screen, and then I waited 2.5 hours for it to end.
Yeah. God, that was... Jesus freaking Christ. The Big Apple Circus is no more.
Oh.
The Big Apple Circus filed Chapter 11 and is no longer an entity that operates in any capacity whatsoever.
That hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. 2016 killed a circus.
Speaking of killing, The Killing Joke. An animated feature film was made that was sort of based on a beloved graphic novel.
Jesus Christ, that was bad.
half of it was a movie that wasn't in our book, and the rest of it was reminding us that that book that we liked really wasn't that good to begin with.
I don't know. I'll argue with the book, but the animated movie was abysmal. Abysmal.
I would have rather just watched Batman fart for 60 minutes.
You know what? Not for nothing. I would also watch that. Okay, fair enough. Seriously. I suppose I'm the one who has to say it. The Orlando shooting. Just,
oh my God.
The tragedy of just so many innocent, wonderful lives and one angry man with a gun is just, I mean, I can't, it still keeps me up at night. Just how fucking horrible that was.
I feel you, a lot of yours are focusing on things that happened, and mine are focusing on things that I saw.
That's fine. That's fine. Oh, because, okay. because we have to cover all the bases.
Oh, Marvel's Doctor Strange.
Whoa, really? You didn't like Doctor Strange?
I liked it for the first half hour after I walked out of the theater, and then I had a few hours to go, wait a minute, that was bullshit.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that kind of breaks my heart, because I really like that film.
You know what bummed me out about it?
What?
Is that no internet film critic is going to call Doctor Strange a Mary Sue. And that motherfucker was the Mary Sueiest Mary Sue that ever Mary Sued since Luke Skywalker.
Wait, that's your problem with it? Is that like male media isn't going to call it a Mary Sue?
No. Well, my problem with it is that its protagonist is, of all of the Marvel movies to date, the least likable character. He's reprehensible. He is not likable at all. He's a dick, and we spend the whole movie trying to celebrate him in his triumph.
He makes a turn, doesn't he?
No, he doesn't. He's a piece of shit.
Oh.
Look, I got to go harsh on it.
I hear you. I hear you.
I have to feel like it makes the list worthwhile.
I guess we have to mention some celebrity deaths. Alan Rickman hit me pretty hard.
Oh, man. Prince hit me pretty hard.
Although I was never a fan, but I understood his contribution. David Bowie is a tremendous loss, you know?
I never anticipated that Gene Wilder was ever going to die.
Yeah, that one hurt quite a bit, actually. Oh, my God, I forget his name, but the actor who played Green Hornet.
Oh, I don't remember his
died.
Name.
I don't remember his name either. Please forgive me, Green Hornet fans, because it's right on the tip of my tongue.
Was it was his name Muhammad Ali?
Oh, Muhammad Ali, that's right.
Or Abe Vigoda?
Abe Vigoda.
Or Leonard Cohen?
Leonard Cohen.
Florence Henderson?
Florence Henderson.
John Glenn?
John Glenn, that's right. That was just not too long ago. Zsa Zsa Gabor?
Fife Dog.
Fife Dog. So, and the countless others that we're not even naming, you know, just
the others that we aren't naming, like Alan Thicke.
Well, there's a lot of really influential people passed away this year.
And, you know, I it kind of trivializes them to lump them all together. But yeah. I was kind of embarrassed by how deeply affected I was by Prince's death. Like that one really got to me.
I remember a lot of
emotion tied up into so much of his early work.
And yeah.
So that one was sad, and it also bummed me out because Prince, like Star Wars, is one of the things that like I remember enjoying as a kid with my mom.
Right.
Because my relationship with my mom was weird and had strange boundaries. But we both loved Purple Rain. There's so many songs about jerking off on that record. but Prince's death, that one really.
Yeah. Oh, here's an interesting thing that I had my life threatened by a white racist. That's a thing that happened in 2016.
Yay! Where's your bucket list and your Sharpie?
And I guess as a follow up to that, I was attempting, how do I say this? Two people in response to me getting threatened via racism tried to gaslight me and tell me that my experience was wrong.
Oh yeah.
Two things that I had to deal with in 2016.
Yeah, I watched that play out on your Facebook.
Yeah.
That was
good times. That was special times.
I would add the growing legitimacy people who subscribe to conspiracy theories have been given by the internet this year, which is only buttressed by this ongoing debate over quote-unquote fake news.
Oh, dear.
The fact that that is a debate is astonishing.
It's astonishing.
When there are still journalistic standards that have to be met by major news outlets.
Yeah. Yeah.
The conspiracy theorists believe that that's not true and that they are trying to silence the truth by using terms like fake news to dismiss their stories about Sandy Hook being a false flag operation.
Oh, God.
Or about Hillary Clinton dying and using a body double on the campaign trail.
Oh, God. That's a thing?
The ongoing debate about fake news is just making conspiracy theorists feel smarter, and they are louder and are making me crazy, man.
Yeah, I guess 2016 really empowered... you know, racist, white supremacists, and crackpots, basically.
Oh, it also empowered a lot of smug coastal liberals like us, too. We stand on our... When we are quick to judge a difference in opinion as Nazism at times. Not to say there are cases of it, but I have watched arguments online where somebody's like, oh, I gotta kind of disagree with that opinion there. Well, you're a Nazi.
Oh, dear.
We're all doing a shit job.
Yeah, yeah.
This empowered the worst elements of all of our various ideologies.
I saw Captain America: Civil War. I don't know if I hated it, but I'm pretty indifferent about it.
You're putting it on your bad list?
Yeah.
That's on my good list.
I'm indifferent.
I'm going to come back to it.
I don't hate it, but I don't love it either. I'm like...
One of the most excruciating things that every last one of us endured this year was a 2016 presidential race.
Hooray.
An endless campaign. That was bad.
Yeah, that was bad. You know what else was bad?
What?
The actual voting part.
Oh, right. The results of the 2016 presidential election.
Yeah.
That was horrible. Oh, my God. Do you know what else was terrible?
What else is terrible?
Watching the president elect select his cabinet.
Oh, yeah.
In there in the twilight of 2016. Yeah. That was a funny punchline tacked on to a shit pie in the face.
You know what else is funny?
Huh?
What watching our president-elect get into a Twitter battle with China.
Yeah.
That's a thing that happened.
You know, you try your hardest to convince yourself that every day that you aren't living in, like, the foreword of the next Bible.
Yeah.
When the last stragglers are standing in the ruins of society and they have to, like, create a new philosophy and mythology and religion to carry forward, that we are all actually living in the foreword of that book.
Yeah. There's a performer that I admire a great deal, and I don't want to out him on the podcast because I don't think I have permission to talk about it because he's not here. But he is a top level performer. In fact, he is a world record holder, and there's literally only one person in the world who can do what he does, and it's him. He is the best in the world at what he does. And not for nothing, he's a bit of an idol of mine, and I've always kind of been very envious of not only his career, but just, you know, the way he sort of commands a stage and things like that. And over 2016, I've had the honor of having lots of sort of online discourse with him and mm-hmm. talking back and forth. And I was even invited to his birthday party, and, like, I got to meet him, and all of that is wonderful. What shakes to me my very core is that, not that he's a Trump supporter, because, I mean, difference of opinion is difference of opinion. I don't particularly care. But he basically goes, he's an online Trump troll. Mm-hmm. He uses words like libtard and, you know, social justice warrior, like it's an insult. And it breaks my heart because I've met this man. He's the sweetest guy you could possibly ever meet. I mean, he literally, after his birthday party, welcomed me into his home, fed me, gave me booze, gave me a tour, like, and introduced me to every single one of his friends as the great Nelson Lugo.
Oh, my.
Going on and on about how wonderful a magician I am. And I'm trying to piece together these two incongruent experiences I have of this man. I know him. Well, I don't know him, but I've met him, and I have an impression of him as being a really good, wonderful, down-to-earth guy. And then he's online, and he just spouts all of this really horrible stuff. And I don't care that he's a Trump supporter. It's the kind of Trump supporter that I have a problem with. It's that old adage, like, never meet your idols because you're gonna get your heart broke or something like that, right?
Yeah. You know, you can compartmentalize and you can...
I absolutely am. I am compartmentalizing like a mofo.
I am certain that when you met him and you hung out with him, that he was probably not speaking in the language of Facebook comments.
Absolutely not. No. Absolutely not. He, in fact, not a single word about politics the entire time I've been in his presence.
You know, I feel like there was a lot of rhetoric thrown around that was quickly dismissed right after the election results that was, hey, let's give him a chance. Let's give him a chance.
Right.
And
right,
I think right. that's... kind of bullshit. I don't think we need to give him a chance.
I don't need to give him a chance.
He is very firmly established and confident in who he is and what he wants to do. That's fine.
Yeah.
But if I could just stretch that a little bit, I think we should give the people who supported him a chance at times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not wholesale.
No.
But especially
no.
the people in our lives, when you have an experience with somebody that is very warm and touching and sincere and heartfelt and moving because you are a fan of theirs. And then you find out that their online persona is like this little farting demon, that you might not necessarily always need to put that in front of the horse.
No. And
I just chopped up a whole bunch of adages there, and I don't think any of them made sense.
No, and I think you're right, and that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm basically separating the man from his rhetoric, and I think everybody is different in person than they are online. I know I am, and I'm just going to continue holding this image and experience of this man that I had in person. And I'm really going to do my best to just not engage with it online, which I have been doing, you know, and, you know, hopefully, you know, and we actually talked politics for the very first time the other day. I posted something. I just happened to be walking by Trump Tower. And I took a picture and I used a quote from Rogue One about, you know, rebellions are always built on hope, you know, not my president, you know, unprecedented. And he wrote something actually pretty kind. He said, you know, although we disagree, I really hope that you can see that, you know, he's going to do something. I'm paraphrasing like a motherfucker, but, I hope you can see that he's going to do good and please give him a chance. And I responded, you know, difference of opinions aside, I think difference of opinions are wonderful things. I don't share your confidence and I'm scared. You know, I hope with every fiber of my being that you're right.
Right.
And, you know, his last comment was, we'll see. And like, that's it. That's really what this all boils down to is like, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, and I just hope history looks back on this moment kindly. Because I'm not convinced it will be.
Let's not tear one another to pieces yet until the ice monsters arrive.
Right. Because right now it's a lot of wouldas and couldas and shouldas. There's no definites yet.
Yeah. But the ice monster.
But the ice monster is coming, yeah. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
In 2016, I feel my depression has reached its zenith.
Yeah.
I was hoping
you were going to mention it.
I have been at my absolute emotional worst this year, and I'm not tying this into our talk about the election results.
No,
independent of that.
Yeah.
I struggle with depression in a terrible way, and 2016 was the worst and the most consistent that I've had in my life. So that really just kind of colored everything. Maybe Batman v Superman was a great movie.
No, it was not. You're okay. Oh. Please don't let that be the litmus test for your happiness and sanity, because that's fucking horrible. I've noticed that you've really been struggling more so this year than in the past, and it's hard because, like, I'm, you know, as your friend, and I kind of see you going through it, and I feel kind of, I don't know. I feel like I should be doing more, but
no, you're fine. I'm really good about reaching out for help when I need it.
Yeah, you've never done that.
Don't do that.
You've never done that ever.
You're doing a fine job.
No, I'm not trying to make this about me, but I'm just saying that, you know, I see you struggling, and I want to do more for you is all I'm saying.
Well, this is just too real for our comedy radio show.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
I've
had enough talking about the bad. I'm already bummed out. I want to talk about the good stuff.
All right. Can I mention two more things?
You got two more?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're both in the same vein.
Bring them.
I dated two women. I broke up with one. I basically broke someone's heart and I got my heart broken.
Ooh. That sucks.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear it.
Yeah.
Auld Lang Syne.
All right.
We went through all the bad things, but if you had to pick one thing that was the worst thing.
I guess the worst thing for me. Oh, there were so many. I guess personally, I guess on a personal level, the worst thing for me was the death of the Big Apple Circus. I think that both personally and professionally, I think that really hit me the hardest, ultimately.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know that one was hard on you.
Yeah.
So my condolences.
Yeah. And what is yours?
The worst thing for 2016?
The worst thing for 2016, yeah.
It's the death of my computer.
Right.
What's wrong with you? All that other stuff is nonsense. Garnish. Sprinkles.
Right. No,
my sweet electronic robot friend is dead, and yes. I don't know how I'm supposed to go on without her.
Well, you just buy a new one, really.
Oh, right.
You just buy a new one.
I just spend a ton of money, and then
a lot of money.
And I upgrade from Wally to Eva.
Yes. That's good. Wally to Eva. Yes, upgrade.
And I mean, I say this kind of jokingly to, you know, make light of all of the actual horrible things that happened.
Yes, 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 yes.
There are a few things that really get under my skin, like my computer dying. And it's been like,
no, I mean,
it
look,
has kind of colored the last month.
Well,
of
your
this year.
Your computer is more than just for porn for you. Like, you create art on your computer. You know what I mean? It's your center of creativity that gets created.
You know, I don't know who it was that said it, but there was a meme that got circulated quite a bit here at the end of the year of everybody saying, like, in case you thought that 2016 wasn't the worst year ever, let us just remind you that Halloween fell on a Monday and that Christmas and New Year's Eve both fall on weekends.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
that kind of sums it up, doesn't it? Yeah. Can we talk about good stuff now?
Let's talk about the good stuff in 2016.
Except I have one more bad thing.
God damn it.
There isn't a whole lot of good stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot.
You know, for somebody who identifies as a pessimist, I have more stuff on my good list than my bad list.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me look over this.
All my bad stuff is all kind of lumped together. A bunch of dead people and a really disappointing political
decision. Here's the thing. Like, in past years, for the past, like, 4 years, I've written, like, in January, this long list of accomplishments I did. So, to remind myself of, hey, here's all the things that I've done. Because I like to beat myself up that I don't do enough.
Uh-huh.
And so I posted publicly to keep myself honest, essentially, right? And this year, I didn't, like, I don't know, maybe you could be the arbiter on this one. Here's what I have on the good list, right? I bought and read 3 books written by women I know personally.
I know for a fact that one of them is The Girl from Everywhere by Heidi Heilig.
Yep, yep. And her second book's coming out soon. We're going to get her back on the podcast. What do you got?
Oh, I did not read books written by people that I know. No, wait, that's not true.
That's not true. You read at least one.
I read a book written by somebody that I know. I don't even want to talk about it because it was fucking awful. It was Ooh, so fucking awful.
Really?
No, I don't even know. I'm not even giving airtime to talking about this guy.
Okay. Oh, that's right. You did. Oh, God. Oh my God. We should totally do an extra bonus episode on that.
No.
I do. I totally want to do that.
Good things that happened in 2016 or things that I enjoyed about 2016.
Yeah.
Deadpool.
Deadpool is fantastic.
It was exciting and it was funny.
Yeah.
And I had so much fun and it had a lot of really kind of progressive elements to it that
Absolutely.
I was surprised by. It made me give a fuck about Deadpool. I've never cared about Deadpool as a comic book character ever. I've never given a shit. I thought it was a stupid.
Yeah.
Like a vehicle for crass dick jokes and just nonsense.
Humor.
And which it is. But when handled by good writers and director and Ryan Reynolds, it's incredibly charming. I loved Deadpool so much.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
I was so excited by how much I liked that movie. I was just blown away. I loved it.
Yeah, no, I did too. You said everything I was gonna say. It's one of my top 5 best experiences of 2016.
It is probably the movie that was released this year that I saw the most times.
Really?
I would say that. I've probably seen Deadpool a half dozen times.
Wowzers. Oh, yeah, I gotta get the DVD of it or something. I guess all of my stuff is like little things that just, like, I wrote flavor text on a collectible card game.
Okay.
I wrote flavor text on a single card for a collectible card game that got published this year.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. I got writer's credit on a game.
That's awesome.
Well, I mean, it's one card. I mean, it's not like I did anything substantial.
I completed recording all of my parts for a collaborative EP with my friend Shale Riley.
Oh, that's right.
We thought that record was going to be finished this year, but it's not.
No, 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 no.
So it's coming out in 2017, Before the World Ends. And
is it called Before the World Ends?
Yeah, it doesn't have a name yet, but it is. It's not just with Shale Riley, but it's also with Ty, who is the production force behind Shale's band, the Double Ice Backfire.
Oh, okay.
So it's a collaboration between me and Shale Riley and the Double Ice Backfire.
Oh, nice.
And I think it's a great record. I worked on it all year. We both did. All three of us did. Worked really hard on it. It's not finished yet, but it will be coming out in 2017. I should have put on the bad list that it didn't come out, but I'll put on the good list.
That's okay.
That it's done. It's in the can.
It's in the can.
I'm excited about it.
It's in post-production.
Yeah.
My
computer died the day after.
How fortuitous.
Yeah.
That could have gone the other way so badly.
Yeah.
I auditioned to be a clown doctor for the Big Apple Circus.
Oh, yes.
And I beat out a veritable fuck ton of the best and the brightest New York has to offer for two spots. And I got it.
Bravo.
Yeah.
That was a great achievement.
That's the one big thing last year that I can point to.
You know, I'm getting the feeling again that this list, like your bad list, is going to be a bunch of things that, like, you have personal experience with, and mine are just like a list of movies and video games.
Yeah,
because I made a record that didn't come out.
But that's it. Like, I watched the pilot episode of Twin Peaks with you.
Okay, terrific. On my good list, Captain America: Civil War.
No.
I told you I was going to come back to it.
No.
I thought it was fun.
No.
I liked Spider-Man.
No.
I liked the big fight in the
airport. No.
It doesn't matter.
You don't matter.
You know what you did like that what? I liked?
What's that?
Ghostbusters.
Fuck yeah, I love me some Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Kate McKinnon. Oh my God, I want to be Kate McKinnon when I grow up.
That one felt great because we'd spent a year defending a movie that we hadn't seen against people who were condemning a movie for a year that they hadn't seen.
Yes.
So it felt satisfying in the end for both of us.
Yeah.
Because we saw a movie that we really enjoyed, and they saw a movie that didn't make enough money to get a sequel. So everybody won, actually.
Oh, really? It didn't do well?
No.
Oh. That's sad.
Yeah.
Oh, I learned 5 new magic acts.
Oh, that's great.
One of them actually made it on stage.
That's great.
Yeah.
Again, personal accomplishments. I'm going to tell you, I watched 3 entire television series on Netflix that I loved. They were Stranger Things, The Get Down, and Luke Cage.
I still haven't seen Luke Cage.
God damn it. Watch Luke Cage.
I'm
going to hurry up. Iron Fist is coming soon, and then The Defenders.
Oh, fuck. I can't.
You got to get caught
up. It's too much. I can't. It's too much.
Luke Cage is one of those series where, after the fact, the more I think about it, the more I'm thinking it like might be my favorite of all of the Netflix Marvel series.
You've already said that you like Luke Cage is your favorite.
No, I didn't. I said Jessica Jones was. Do you listen to this podcast?
No.
Good. Nobody else does either.
I saw Star Trek Beyond.
Oh, I didn't.
I loved it.
Excellent.
But then again, I'm the target audience for that, so I might be incredibly biased when it comes to that sort of thing.
This year for my birthday, Nelson Lugo got me in a Kindle Fire and the password to his Comixology account.
That's right.
So he basically gave me 1,000 comic books.
Yeah.
Which was great because now I've learned how to read comic books on a tablet, which, boy, that really enhances the experience. The whole
Doesn't
movement
it?
Of going panel to panel.
Oh,
and having,
yeah.
Having
the guided
like,
view?
And having like reveals.
Yeah.
When a camera like pulls out.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
excellent. And I have been missing out for a long time.
You have?
As a result of reading that, I found this series that I absolutely love called Clean Room.
You like Clean Room?
I like Clean Room so goddamn much.
Really?
Yes. I love it.
That was after you read a couple of books, you asked me for some recommendations.
Yeah.
And I hesitated telling you about Clean Room.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think you would like it.
It's a horror story with demons that is set around a vague representation of the Church of Scientology.
Yeah.
And I it hit me at the right time because I just kind of developed this fascination with the Church of Scientology. And I love comic books like Lock and Key and Outcast and Rachel's Rising, where there's demons possessing humans. So hit me with beautiful artwork, great storytelling.
It is cool great characters. Artwork.
It's just excellent. Clean Room from Image. Read it.
Clean Room. Put this on your good list. There's a new Lock and Key thing coming out soon.
What the F?
Yeah. I think it's a standalone issue. But there's a new Lock and Key story coming.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Also, this is from 2015, but I didn't discover it until this year, and I was telling Luca before we started recording.
What's that?
Was Satellite Sam.
Yeah, Satellite you're telling me about
Sam
this.
Is an excellent series. It's already done. It's collected. It's 15 issues or 3 trades. Written by Matt Fraction, who can do no wrong.
In your eyes.
And drawn by Howard Chaykin, who drew a bunch of porno books in the 80s, like Black Kiss.
Uh-huh.
It's a kind of a crime noir story set in New York City in 1951 around the cast and crew of a live sci-fi television Buck Rogers-esque show called Satellite Sam. And there's a murder mystery, and there are all these people scrambling for positions in this growing industry. And there's tons and tons and tons of fucking. So much fucking by this like porno book guy. And then at the end of every trade, there are these interviews, and Matt Fraction is clearly fanboying, interviewing Howard Chaykin. And
oh, sure.
It becomes very clear that he got to meet him and then wrote this whole story
just to work with him.
And pitched it to him. And it's excellent. It's an excellent story.
Oh, okay. I will definitely check it out. Yeah. I read so many good books this year. Jeez. I mean, where do I even begin? I discovered a book called Low that I am really, really enjoying. And it's this sort of far-flung future underwater city because the surface is toxic kind of story, but the underwater city is now becoming toxic, and this war and you know, fish people and pirates and mech suits and submarines and naked ladies and naked men and drugs, and just it's fucking incredible.
Low.
It's been one of my favorites reading. I'm catching up. I'm slowly catching up, but it's got me hooked, and I like it a lot.
Moving from Netflix to cable television.
Uh-huh.
I think my favorite show on television right now is Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. It is a late night.
I don't know this.
Half hour. It's kind of a talk show format, kind of a news show format.
Sure.
She does, you know, a monologue with commenting on the news, and they have like correspondent segments. She was a correspondent on the Daily Show for like
10
years or something. And she has a show now on TBS, which airs on Monday nights. There's a lot. There's a very crowded and very male landscape of late night TV talk show hosts. And not a single one of them has the fucking guts that Samantha Bee does.
Really?
Her show is fearless. I know Trevor Noah is still kind of finding his way on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
But every now and then they have like the really kind of biting satire that like works. And every now and then, you know, Stephen Colbert has been a little defanged since moving over to CBS. But every now and then he still cuts through like pretty sharp.
Sure.
Samantha Bee, there's not a fuck in her body.
Really?
She is absolutely fearless and pointed and dead on all the time. And angry. Oh my God. And she is so
angry.
She is so funny. Full Frontal with Samantha Bee is my favorite show of 2016.
Oh, okay.
And it has been an absolute godsend throughout the election, during the campaign.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of sends me back to, you know, how wonderful it was to have Jon Stewart during the Bush administration.
Yeah.
It's like that, but even fiercer.
Wow. Yeah. I discovered I'm late to the party, but I've been watching, House of Cards.
Mm-hmm.
With what's his name? Oh, damn it! The actor
Kevin Spacey.
Yes, so good. It is so good. And I normally don't like those kind of shows where they kind of glorify the villain and you're supposed to root for him but also hate him at the same time. But this is done so smartly and so wonderfully. They don't really pull any punches, and everybody's a fucking horrible human being, and it's just great to watch.
Did you just start watching that show so you could see your friend's boobs?
No, but I did get to see my friend's boobs.
Oh, okay.
And my friend's boobs are lovely. And she's a lovely lady.
Oh, while we're talking about television.
Uh-huh.
You know what else I loved on television this year?
What's that?
Beyonce at Super Bowl 50.
Oh, right.
Remember how that set the internet on fire?
Yeah, with the sharks?
It's... No, that was Katy Perry.
Oh, that was last year, wasn't it?
This is when Beyonce did her number, her song Formation, alongside Bruno Mars and Chris Martin of Coldplay. You might have forgotten that Chris Martin of Coldplay was there. Everybody else did.
But
it tore up the internet for a few days because racists, including my stepbrother's family, got really worked up about the fact that Beyonce was on air expressing supremacy, and they were doing gestures of the Black Panthers, and it was the most hysterical reaction to a non-news story I have ever heard. But the fact of the matter was, it was an incredibly good performance, and it was awesome to see something like that at the fucking Super Bowl, and then to watch people shit their pants about it. To watch lifelong football fans who were also trying to reconcile their own racism being like, I'm gonna boycott NFL next year. Like, you fucking could, but the fact that they got so under their skin by that made them uncomfortable was just beautiful and one of the best uses of mass media of the year.
I guess. I don't know. I guess I kind of checked out because
You missed out.
Then. I did.
Missed out on that story.
No, I remember people talk about Beyonce for like a week and then nobody cared.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Buy that card and I don't... I watch the Super Bowl because it's a huge culture event, not because I have like a horse in the race. Unless I do have a horse in the race, which never happens because I'm a fan of the worst team in the NFL. Go Oakland Raiders. but I feel like even if we don't give a shit, it's worth mentioning the Chicago Cubs won the World Series.
Oh my God, that's right.
Even if you don't
the
like
Chicago
sports,
fucking Cubs.
You still root for an underdog, and there is no greater underdog in the history of... It was like 80 years.
80 years or something, right? Yeah. Some like astronomically long amount of time.
With many of those 80 years, many of them letting them see it on the horizon, getting close and just snatched away. I stood up and cheered when I heard that the Cubs won the series, and I don't watch baseball.
No, I was particularly proud
because
of that
I know
moment.
How many people were happy about that.
Well, that and also I've been to Chicago a number of times, and every time I've been to Chicago, I would always manage to watch a game at Wrigley Field. And if you've never been to the Chicago baseball stadium, it is an experience. Like it's indescribable. It's a tiny little thing and you can see apartment buildings all around it. And all the apartment buildings around it have built bleachers on their roofs so that all the people who live in those buildings could watch the games. It's incredible.
That's where Harry Carey held court.
Harry Carey. Good on the Cubs. Good for them. Good for Chicago.
Wait, I've got one more sports thing.
Okay.
I can't believe that I have three sports things.
I know.
I'm
a little shocked myself, actually.
I think we need to send a shout out to Simone Biles.
That's not really sports.
She is an Olympic athlete.
Wait, hold on. What are we talking about?
She's the gymnast who now is the most decorated gymnast.
Yes.
In history, with the collection of medals that she won, both at this year's Summer Games and at the World Championships in gymnastics. She won 4 gold medals at this Olympics, including best all-around women's performance. And she did things that human beings have never seen other human beings do.
I completely agree. I thought you were talking about somebody else entirely.
Simone Biles was an inspiring story to watch. And
that
just,
was Summer Olympics was this year, wasn't it?
Yes.
Holy shit.
This was a leap year.
Yeah.
Leap years are when we have summer games and presidential elections.
Yeah, yeah.
I always love women's gymnastics in the Olympics. Why are you looking at me like that? Because
you're a perv.
No, because they do things that only cartoons are supposed to do.
That is true.
And Simone Biles, she's basically a superhero.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was really exciting, and I felt it.
I thought, oh my God, I feel so stupid. I thought you were talking about somebody else entirely.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well. I wasn't.
I know. I know that now.
Well, one last sports thing.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, I went and played a benefit show in Columbus, Ohio, where among the guests in attendance, I got to meet former WWE superstar Virgil.
Huh.
Which doesn't really mean a lot. I was a fan of the WWF in the 80s, and I saw Ted DiBiase wrestle a couple of times, and Virgil was his bodyguard, who later became a wrestler, and they had like a fight for his belt, and he left and joined the NWO when a bunch of WWF guys jumped ship.
Sure.
But I got to meet him, and like it was like one of the first times I got to meet like a wrestling guy that I'd been a fan of as a kid, and he's an absolute fucking banana cake. out of his mind. And I had like two conversations
like
with him.
Like legitimately
At this big like rock and roll show. Two conversations with him. Both conversations within 30 seconds.
Uh-huh.
He was talking shit about Vince McMahon. It didn't take
long.
Like he's still kind of doing shtick. And maybe he's not crazy, but. I think he's kind of crazy. But
well, I mean,
but I met him.
They might all be a bit punch drunk. You know what I mean? But
sure.
Loopy in the head.
Taking a lot of falls.
I want to go back to some pop culture. I saw the new Harry Potter universe film, Fantastic
Ooh,
Beasts.
How was it?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. It's dark and not for kids, but it lives in that Harry Potter universe, and so it's for kids at the same time. It's weird. People die and gruesome shit happens. I liked it. And it's setting up itself to be essentially the franchise of the Harry Potter universe. Oh. There's going to be like 12 films coming out now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's going to be... It's establishing itself as the new franchise.
I see.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. I'm still kind of overwhelmed by the Harry Potter universe.
I know.
There's
I know.
A lot. And
you don't,
I don't
like it. You don't like
I've
it.
I've seen the movies, but I still don't like remember which one was which. There's so many characters. They all have such whimsical names.
They do. They do have whimsical. I guess I'm a sucker. I guess it's why I liked Doctor Strange, because I'm such a sucker for...
Mary Sue's?
Maybe. But magic wielders.
Ah, yes.
Stories that involve magic wielders in some capacity. So we also saw Suicide Squad.
Did I not put that on the bad list?
I don't remember you mentioning Suicide Squad.
Oh, well, addendum, Suicide Squad, bad.
I don't know. I think I want to give it another chance.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll say like the first 30 minutes of Suicide Squad, I'll keep it on my good list. I haven't watched an extended cut. I'm tired of DC movies coming out this year with them saying like, well, you got to see the extended cut. Because it's all the shit we cut out to make the story make sense. Well, why don't put that in the movie so it makes sense when I see it?
I saw 4 magic shows. Yeah. I liked 3 of them.
That's a cool story.
And none of the magicians that I saw would be listening to this. And so the sick burn of just saying I only like 3 out of the 4 is really falling on deaf ears.
I see. Played some video games I liked this year.
Did you now?
Yeah, so did you.
I played one video game, I remember. No, that's not true.
We both played Uncharted 4.
We did. I love Uncharted 4.
That's a beautiful, fun, wonderful game.
It is. I also played the Batman game.
Yeah.
Arkham Knight, which
was great.
You
had to get caught up on that guy.
I played about a million hours of Dragon Age Inquisition.
Yeah. I played several hours of Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
I did too.
As well as the downloadable game Jack the Ripper for Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good. Have you played that?
No.
Oh, it's really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. I may have to go back.
Yeah.
I have to go back.
It's worth it. I actually got stuck in a place in Assassin's Creed where there's only one more like kind of story chunk that you can unlock, but I have to go back and do all these side missions to unlock it.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, well, I'm done with this game. And then I heard about Jack the Ripper. I was like, oh, LOL. What's this? Jack the Ripper is its own game and it's excellent.
Well, January, February, I got a veritable whole lot of nothing happening. So maybe that's when I'll go back to Jack the Ripper. But Assassin's Creed.
The best video game I played this year, without question, was an indie game from a company called Play Dead. They were the same people who made Limbo.
Uh-huh.
They put out a game this year called Inside. And that...
Inside.
It is an atmospheric side-scroller, puzzler that I couldn't quit thinking about for months after I'd finished it. It's
I remember you mentioning this to me.
Breathtaking.
Yeah.
It's such a great game.
Oh, God. I can't. There's too much. There's too much for me to consume. I don't have enough hours in a goddamn day. Between TV and comic books and video games and books and life and work. And it's just, I can't. My brain hurts.
Oh, you want to know what my favorite record of the year is?
You have a favorite record?
I have a favorite record of the year.
Is it, can I guess?
Sure.
Is it the new De La Soul one?
Nope.
Oh, what is it?
But you're close. It's the new Tribe Called Quest.
That's it. That's what I was talking about. Yes, the new Tribe Called Quest. Yes.
Back from the Dead, Tribe Called Quest released a record that many of us did not see coming.
No.
And I was delighted to find that it sounds like other Tribe Called Quest records. Like it's still like samples or still like record static on it. It feels like a Tribe Called Quest record, like that there was one that was lost years ago and then we just got it. And it's excellent. Of course, it's kind of sad that it came out after Fife Dog had passed. but right. he's still on the record. So they got all these recordings. Apparently most of this record was in the can before he died. But it's called "We Got It From Here, Thank You For Your Service." And it not only is it their newest one in many, many years, but it's a final record.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, Fife's
makes
gone.
Sense. Makes sense.
It's excellent.
Is it?
It is excellent. Oh, I just so can't good quit to hear. To it.
That's so good to hear.
Game show host insulted a bunch of my friends.
Yeah, that's the thing that happened.
So we all got together and worked together and had a good weekend making arts and crafts together.
Yeah.
That was a cool thing that happened. So thanks, Alex Trebek.
I became a party bus magician.
You did become a party bus magician.
Yeah, that's a thing I did this year. I don't know. I'm still, the jury, my personal jury is still out as to whether or not that's a good or a bad thing. So, but for right now, I'm getting paid for it, so it's good.
Good.
Yeah.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention this.
What's that?
But this year, a tiny pink nightmare came into my life named Roger.
Roger the hairless cat.
Roger's a beautiful garbage sphinx that I got.
Garbage sphinx.
He is just a wonderful, charming,
is he?
Sweet little lover.
Is he?
He feels gross.
Is
he? Looks gross.
He?
His poops are terrible. I love him so much. Roger is a good cat. You're a good cat, Roger.
He doesn't care.
No.
Not even looking at you.
Doesn't, not even looking at me.
Doesn't give a fuck.
He's wearing clothes and he's asleep. Garbage cat. I love Roger so much. And that was, Roger is definitely, he's pretty high on my list for 2016.
I saw a lot of independent solo work this year. Some of it was great. Some of it wasn't great. But I think what I like about it most is that I actually got out and saw stuff this year, which I rarely ever get to do these days. And so I'm actually really glad I got to do that.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I got to perform and in two burlesque / sideshow festivals this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did some traveling.
I did some traveling and it was lovely. I met a lot of really wonderful, wonderful people. And hopefully I'll be able to get to do those things again.
That's great. I had a great time at South by Southwest.
Oh, that's right.
And Liberty City Anime Con. And I'm very excited that in January I will be performing my first MAGFest.
Hey!
I got invited to MAGFest this year. So
congrats!
Yeah.
I didn't get my invitation. When do you think I might get
it? Just keep checking your mailbox, buddy. Okay. It's coming.
All right.
They send physical mail, so it might take a little
while. Okay, good. I have a perfect app.
You just watch that mailbox every day, and you get those hopes nice and high.
I am. Well, they're already high. I don't know if they can get any higher.
Oh, terrific.
Woohoo! MAGFest!
Do you have a favorite thing of 2016 that happened or that you consumed or what have you in the year 2016?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? What tops your list?
Oh, geez. I guess, you know what? I guess it would have to be two things or they're both like half things. One is actually being hired by the Big Apple Circus to be a clown doctor, mm-hmm. you know, for however short a time that was, you know, I mean, I've now transferred into another company that does the same work, but for a little while there, my paycheck said Big Apple Circus.
Right.
And that was an amazing moment in my life and an accomplishment that I do not take lightly. And I guess the other thing is, and I guess it's more bittersweet than good or bad, but I finally put to bed my solo show, Gathering the Magic. And, you know, I performed it for 3 years and it grew and evolved. And it was a crazy idea that I had to get on stage, and I got it on stage and I actually performed it and got reviewed. And it's just nice to look back 3 years later and just say, yeah, that's an accomplishment. That's a thing that I did, you know?
Good for you.
Yeah. What about for you, Schaefer? What's the best thing?
I feel like it should be obvious because I haven't mentioned it yet. The best thing that happened to me in 2016.
Yeah.
Well, it just happened to me days ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you get a flu shot?
I got a flu shot in October.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't that.
All right.
But 3 days ago,
yeah,
I saw Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Yeah, you did.
Gareth Edwards' side entry into the Star Wars canon. the first of these.
Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
The first of these so-called Star Wars stories that are going to be coming out in alternate years from actual episodes. It was released, and we saw it. And if you haven't seen it...
fix your life.
If you haven't seen it by the time you're listening to this episode... this has been the Epic Podcast, episode 50. I've been your host, Nelson Lugo. I've been your host, Shave the Dark Lord. Be safe, internet. Bye. And we'll just call it a day. Just turn it off because we're there's nothing.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year. We're going to talk about Rogue One, and we are not going to skimp on spoilers.
Rogue One tells the story of a bunch of plucky rebels and their attempts to steal the plans for the Death Star so that we can see them delivered safely to Princess Leia on the blockade runner ship that we see at the beginning of A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's just great. It's great good. In so many ways. It's got from problems, beginning to end. But it wouldn't be a Star Wars movie without problems.
Well, I mean, it's not a perfect film, but I don't think that's what it's going for. It's doing the job of filling in a gap that people have been speculating since fucking A New Hope came out. And
have they, though? I don't think people have been like gathered around being like, but what about that band of rebels that stole the plans of the Death Star?
No, seriously. Like there's been like, there's gotta be books or a story or like, I remember very specifically playing a Star Wars D&D campaign where I and my crew were the people who stole the Death Star plans and got them to the blockade ship.
Okay.
Like this is a, you know, a seminal moment that just gets talked about, and then you just kind of accept that it happens. And this is now a 2-hour and 15-minute film that tells you exactly how those Death Star plans got into Leia's hands. And it is fucking fantastic.
You know, among the many things that I like about it, one thing that I like is that it's the first time I feel in a Star Wars movie where we've really seen like the consequences of war.
Yeah.
It looks like war.
Yeah.
Like it's not like
it ain't
we got to have a couple of shots of Ewoks taking a knee or some younglings getting slaughtered, but it's, you're watching like people explode and bodies fly through the air and it's war.
Yeah.
What I also like is that it's the first time in the Star Wars universe, which has always been very black and white, heroes and villains, good versus evil, mm-hmm. those types of morality tales.
Yeah, yeah.
The first time that we've seen that, like, you know, perhaps the good guys aren't always so good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the first time, it's the closest any Star Wars film has come to actually acknowledging that the Rebel Alliance...
It's the only time.
Is that the Rebel Alliance is a terrorist organization.
Yeah.
Fighting against the fascist state, but nonetheless...
Nonetheless.
Like, we have...
And that there are extremists even within... that organization.
We have characters who we're rooting for who are struggling with their own sort of morality around assassinations.
Yeah.
And being the fact that they are hired guns for the rebellion to kill people.
Yeah. That they have done terrible things in the name of the rebellion.
Yeah.
Terrible things which the hope is will lead to good.
Yeah.
But terrible things nonetheless.
I mean, we see our heroes murder in Star Wars movies, but it's always like with a triumph of fanfare, and that's how they save the day.
Yeah.
It's the first time where we see our heroes murder and then have that weigh on them.
I liked it. I thought it was a very brave choice for a Star Wars story because a Star Wars story has never been told in that way before. Because again, like you said, the morality in Star Wars stories is always black and white. Mm-hmm. There's good and then there's evil and there's nothing really in between.
Right.
This was the first time where the good guys weren't as squeaky clean as we would like to have them be. And they all have their hands dirty in some way, shape, or form. And they've all done terrible things because it's war. And that's what happens in wartime. You do terrible things for a greater good and in the hopes of a greater good.
By that same card, we see the like inner mechanics of the bad guys and their own sort of power hierarchy and their own struggles.
Yeah.
When our chief baddie is like doing terrible things, we get a slightly sympathetic eye to his motivation behind things. That he needs to be ambitious if he wants to succeed in this company, and he's being looked over, and that it adds ambiguity to the bad guys.
Right. It's weird. It's almost a flip in that a lot of the Star Wars movies, there's a shit ton of bureaucracy that happens. And in this, it's actually kind of flipped. It's like you're actually seeing a lot of the bureaucracy in the Empire because they're in power now. Like they don't have to, like, you know, they don't have to, they are what they are. And now there's like middle managers and there's, you know, protocols and a chain of command and, you know, very streamlined and very organized. And then we have the rebellion where, like, no one's showered in months. Like, there's dirt on everything. You know, there's...
They're just believing in some damned fool idealistic crusade.
Yes. You know, they're infighting. They can't all agree on anything. It's
their droid is a dick.
Their droid is such a dick and so fucking wonderful.
And here's the thing. Here's where the big spoiler comes. It's to see a Star Wars movie, not just a Star Wars movie, but a Disney movie to boot.
Yeah.
Released for mass consumption for families around the holidays.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where literally every single one of our heroes dies.
Every single one of them. One.
We watch them die one by one.
And then en masse.
Yep.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's bold.
I have well, first of all, I mean, I can't point to a lot of American-made movies where there isn't a happy ending.
Yeah.
Let alone a Star Wars movie. You know,
I mean, that's the thing. I think people went into this movie saying, like, the kind of punchline that you would repeat on the internet is, yeah, like, well, you can't spoil this movie for me because we all know how it's going to end.
Except...
We all know that the rebels are going to get the plans and they're going to blow everything up. Except, no, there is a surprise.
There
you
is.
Don't expect to get invested in, like, this team of amazing characters,
yeah,
and then watch them all die.
I mean, Empire Strikes Back had, a not as happy an ending. But even that felt hopeful. That felt, yeah, like... Like, I mean, the heroes were down, but they weren't out.
Yeah.
You know, this. Whew.
Yeah.
And also a Star Wars film that didn't have a single Jedi in it.
Well, it had one.
Well, he was a Force sensitive, but.
Well, no, we had a fallen Jedi.
Was he a Jedi?
Was Anakin Skywalker a fucking Jedi?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, he's Sith. He's not Jedi.
I guess you didn't see the prequels. He was a Jedi for a very long time. I guess you didn't see the Clone Wars. He was a Jedi for a long time.
I don't recognize those films.
Okay. Yes. The best part about this movie for me is they gave us Darth Vader. They gave us a lot of Darth Vader.
A lot.
They gave us dialogue.
More Darth Vader than I thought they were going to do.
Dialogue scenes with Darth Vader where you got to hear him talking about war and still use that kind of menacing snark that he used throughout the original trilogy.
Yeah.
We got to see him see people cower in his presence. We got to see a quick shot of him out of armor in a Bacta tank.
Yeah. Basically just like a fried potato.
Yeah. Still just trying to regenerate what man was left of him. And then at the end of the film, we get a moment that I have been waiting to see on screen for
that last 15 30 minutes.
Years, what I thought I was going to get in Revenge of the Sith that we didn't get.
Yeah.
We got to see an agile, able Darth Vader
and
doing
angry,
badass fucking Sith shit.
Yeah.
Not just the kind of clunky David Prowse sword fighting that he did in all of his duels, but actually blocking blasters bolts and twirling his saber around and deflecting bolts and force choking a motherfucker to the ceiling and pulling guns out of people's hands. And the sequence that went on for like 30 seconds, it felt like,
oh, so good.
It was, I was just so intoxicated by it. And that 30 seconds in the theater of just my jaw, just tense from being open and not breathing. It put salve on the wound of all of 2016 for me, even maybe 2015.
Wow.
It made me so happy because it's just something that I've like...
You've been waiting for that.
Yeah. You see it in Star Wars Rebels. You see it in the new Marvel books. You see it in the video games. But we haven't seen it on the big screen.
Right.
And here he was just on a goddamn angry Vader warpath. And it was
everything
that I'd ever dreamed.
And what I love about it, it's just him. No stormtroopers, no backup, nothing.
No.
He basically steps onto a rebel ship and just fucking mows through it.
And it's kind of great because I had a moment earlier on when I was questioning the chief baddie.
Yeah.
When he was questioning him, and the chief baddie was kind of like, kind of being a dick.
Kind
of talking back and giving him some shit.
Exactly.
Like Vader force choked him a little bit and gave a really unfortunate line of dialogue after it.
That's okay.
But at the same time, you're like, how dare you talk to Lord Vader like that? So a part of me kind of took me out for a second because I was like, I'm supposed to believe that everybody is absolutely in cowering fear of him all the time. And I feel like Vader had a moment of mercy there. And then later on in the film, when he gets frustrated again, when they lose the plans, when they think it's like a done deal,
uh-huh,
He just fucking cannot.
Yeah.
He just loses it. And he's like, yeah, all right, I was kind before. Fuck this. And just mows down a bunch of hippies with lasers.
Jeez, it's and, so good.
Oh my God, it was everything I wanted.
And there's even a moment where like, there, like so many rebel soldiers are running the fuck in the opposite direction of Vader.
Yeah.
And the door is jammed. They can't get out.
Yeah.
And they're screaming. They are begging for their lives for this door to open. And Vader is just cutting them down. It's just,
yeah.
God, it was so good. Ah. Oh.
Yeah.
I love Rogue One. I want to watch it again.
We'll go see it.
I want to watch it again, not in 3D.
Yeah.
We'll go see it again. I don't like post conversion 3D at all.
No,
I really don't.
It had its moments in the one we saw. There were a couple of times. Those
long ship shots out in space were great in 3D.
Yeah, when they were like in command chairs and there was glass bodies beneath them.
Yeah,
I had a couple moments where I felt it in my stomach.
Yeah, those were great.
Yeah.
But there's something about post conversion 3D where it just makes the film darker. And I this is already a dark, overcast film.
I mean, everybody's dirty.
Yeah. Not only that, but like it just seems like it's always about to rain. You know what I mean? Like it's that kind of like dark. I don't know. Just everything about this movie just seems oppressed, you know, which I guess makes sense because at this point, the Empire has been in power for, geez, I don't know what, 20 years at this point.
Yeah,
I guess. I mean, how old are Luke and Leia at this point? They're like
20.
Yeah. So they've been in. So 19. Basically the Empire has been in power for about 19, 20 years, somewhere in there. Yeah. So we're looking at a universe that has been under Imperial thumb for 20 years. And it feels that way. It feels people feel oppressed and given up and just, I don't know.
I don't know.
It was great.
And it's foreshadowing too, because you know what? Yeah, like 19 years from now, you are going to look like Forrest Whitaker's character, Saw Gerrera. And you're going to have a couple of robot
out of
feet.
A...
You guys have the same hair. And you're going to be telling stories and you're going to be in like the ruins of Astoria.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
your like ragtag band of not rebels, but definitely not Empire sympathizers.
No.
Just waiting for the shit to go down.
Yeah. Because I'm going to be a rebellion extremist. I think we need to talk about, before we end, the digital Grand Moff Tarkin and the digital Leia.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this off mic, and I think we both said the same thing, in that the first time we saw digital Grand Moff Tarkin, and he's a completely digital character. There's probably a mo-capped actor under there somewhere, but it's basically they put a video game character inside of a movie hoping we wouldn't notice.
I thought it was just his face. I thought the clothes looked legit.
Oh no, I don't know.
I think the actor doing the voice is standing in that room and they just digitally replaced his head.
Okay. I'll take your word, which is why I want to see it again.
Yeah.
The first time I saw it, it was just him looking like we saw his reflection in the window.
Ooh, goosebumps.
Yeah. And I thought, you know what? If that's all they do, that's all I need.
Peter Cushing, they digitally put Peter Cushing in this movie. Excellent.
Yeah, but then he turned around.
and all of a sudden you're playing Metal Gear Solid.
I got fucking Uncanny Valley really, really hard.
Yeah.
And it snapped me out of my experience.
Some of the
really
best,
hard.
Some of the best human face rendering they've ever done in
ever,
movie.
Ever
and
done.
Still looks like a cutscene. It still looks like a video game. It still looks weird.
It looks like a Half-Life 2 cutscene.
The voice actor doing Tarkin.
Oh, fantastic.
Killed it. Sounded just like Peter
killed
Cushing.
Killed it.
But it was weird. So anyway, so that first time you see it, it kind of pulls you out.
Right. And so then, but we see him a lot.
Yeah.
Grand Moff Tarkin has actually a pretty beefy role in this movie. We see him again, and it took me out a little bit less. I'm like, that still bothers me, but okay. And then we saw him again, and I'm like, at that point, I accepted it. I'm like, okay, this is just a thing. I'm just going to get over it. I'm just going to enjoy it for what it is. And then the subsequent times I saw him, it didn't bother me as much. And I basically got used to it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I agree. When I saw his reflection in the glass, I got goosebumps. When he turned around and started doing dialogue, I kind of started snickering.
Yeah.
Like, this looks like a cutscene. When he came back, I was kind of giggling because I'm like,
they're still doing that? Okay.
By the time they got to like the fourth or fifth appearance of him, I had a moment where I was watching it. And every time I was distracted by watching the facial animation.
Yeah.
I had, there was like one moment where I saw him do something and I was like, all right, that shot looked legit.
Like, I think I know which one you're talking
about.
But
at that point, I'm like losing dialogue because I'm distracted by watching to see if any of it looks real. And also, I don't know if it looked legit or if it was just, it was getting normal for me after having seen it a few times. I agree. It was, it was overdone. I think if they'd done more shots or if they just kept his part down to that reflection, it would have been very
beautiful.
Effective. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they overdid.
I understand why they brought him back, because they needed a foil for him.
Yeah.
And Grand Moff would have been the highest of command that you could go to.
Yeah.
And the most recognizable. But then we get to the end, and this is a huge spoiler alert. The plans eventually make it into the hands of Princess Leia.
Just moments before the Empire boards them at the beginning of A New Hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Moments. And first we see her from behind wearing the classic white gown with the white hood.
And we all gasp.
We all gasp. And then it slowly pans. And I'm like, okay. And then we get full, huge face shot of a digital Princess Leia, a very young Carrie Fisher.
Yeah. And that
bothered me.
It looked bad. It didn't look real. It looked even more Uncanny Valley than
because it's like I only got used to Grand Moff, right?
Yeah.
Like I didn't have time to get used to fucking digital Leia. And at first I was like, okay, I guess, all right.
I mean, it'll look great when we watch it on our phones next year. But on a giant screen, RPX theater, no. And the thing is, they could have done so much. Like I'd said to you, they could have shot her backlit.
Yeah.
They could have shot her in silhouette. They could have shot her in profile.
Yeah.
She could have had her hood up. She wears a hood at the beginning of that movie.
Yeah.
And just seen like a little sliver of her face. Like they didn't have to give us this glorious money shot where we just see her close up on the screen. And that's the final shot of the film. We didn't need that. We all know who it would have been. Just when we saw her back in the white gown, we all know it's Princess Leia. I like her final line that she got to, like, because it, the movie is, otherwise we watch everybody die, and it ends on this, like, her actually saying the word hope. But the digital creation was, it was too much. This also, though, we see this right after I had a 30-second orgasm watching Darth Vader do Darth Vader shit for the first time on the big screen.
Yes, that's true.
And I, even at that point, I was so doped up from that that I didn't even care.
Right.
I was kind of like, oh, Leia, you look kind of bad, but whatever. Oh, you're, oh, Lord
you're riding
Vader.
That Vader high.
Oh, Lord Vader, when you force choke that bitch to the ceiling. Oh,
I'm probably going to regret saying this because at some point somebody's going to play this back to me a year from now. I don't think they should have done the digital actors. I think they should have just cast people that kind of looked like them.
Yeah.
And because we're all fucking adults, we know that Peter Cushing is dead. We know that Carrie Fisher is not 21 years old anymore. You know, give us the benefit of the fourth, you know, wall and just cast actors that would have been at least kind of looking like them. We're it's a movie. We get that it's not real. You don't need to go literal and recreate a fucking digital Peter Cushing. Having said that,
doesn't matter. Didn't ruin it. It was still a great movie.
Yeah. Having said that, I still liked it. I'm still going to watch it.
Yep.
I still thought it was probably one of the best Star Wars films I've ever seen.
Yep. And it was still my favorite thing of 2016.
Yeah.
Digital warts and all.
Digital warts and all.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's it. That's our year recap.
From all of us here at the Epic Podcast, we hope that you survived 2016 intact. And if you haven't, then you know, our hearts go out to you. And we'll meet again back in 2017.
We're not going to be back in January. We're going to take a little break.
We're going to take a break, yes.
I need a little time out to get a new machine, get up to speed.
Right. Yeah, you need a new computer.
So we're going to be off. We're going to be off in January. Maybe we'll be back in February.
Maybe.
Maybe we won't be back until March.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
I guess we'll just see.
Yeah, I guess you're gonna have to tune in. And
oh, the future, like everything, it's just filled with so many question marks, even when it comes to your 14th favorite podcast.
I hate the future.
Oh, that's no attitude to have.
I guess not. Merry Christmas, Schaefer.
Happy New Year, Nelson.
This has been the Epic Podcast, episode fucking 50. 50. I have been your host, Nelson Lugo.
And I have been your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Be safe, internets.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Epic Podcast. We'd love to listen to you, too. So send us your feedback, questions, love mail, hate mail, recipes, and fan fiction to epicpodcast@gmail.com. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and more, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and the Epic Podcast on all of your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Along to this tune. I'll hum along to this tune. Oh, Schaefer, you big poopy head. I'll see you dead very soon.
Lugo!
Schaefer!
So we're going on vacation now.
Yay!
Awesome.
Where are we going to go? What are we going to do?
I need a break from doing this.
I need a break from all the things.
I'll tell you what we're going to do.
Ooh,
dude.
Yeah, tell me. What are you going
to
do?
We're going to go into the future.
Dude, I just told you I hate the future.
Yo, I know, but we're going to skip. There's going to be terrible things that are going to happen in January, maybe February, maybe March.
Sure.
I don't know. We're going to take a little time off from the show, and we're just going to skip everything that happens.
Okay, just skip the next couple of months?
We're just going to skip the next couple of months. Okay. Let's just go into the future where... I just assume it's going to be brighter and more hopeful.
One would hope.
So anyway, you know the deal.
Yeah.
Here's the big shiny button.
Ooh, I do like the big shiny button.
I know. So you hit that button and we will be shot into the future to our next episode.
Come here, button.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Punch it. Oh my God, it's the future. We're here.
It's literally the same time. I just forgot my phone. Okay, got it.
Wait.
Let's go. Punch it.
Oh, God damn it. All right.